Okay, so we are looking at Hebrews chapter 11 in the mornings on Sundays. And Hebrews chapter 11 is found on page 1007 in the church Bibles if you want it in front of you. So this chapter in Hebrews gives us a list of men and women who did amazing things by faith for God. So it's quite an incredible list. And we've got to this lady called Rahab now this morning. And we find out about her in verses 30 and 31 of Hebrews 11. I'll just read those two verses to you. They say, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." So we're looking at this lady, Rahab. So who was Rahab? Well, she was a Canaanite woman. We know that. She lived in the city of Jericho, as Adam was reading to us earlier. And she lived about 1400 BC. So most of what we know about Rahab, we gather from the passage that Adam kindly read to us earlier. We know that when these Israelite spies came to the city of Jericho to spy out the land, they came to her house and she welcomed them. It says in Hebrews, she gave them a friendly welcome. And when the king of Jericho was then hunting them down, she helped them and she hid them. She helped them to escape and she made this deal with them. And then afterwards, she went and actually, and her family, and they lived with the Israelites. So we don't know much more about her than that passage. There are one or two other facts we know from that and from a couple of other places in the Bible. One of them was that she was a prostitute. And then we also know that after she went and joined with the Israelites, she married one of them, a man called Salmon. And we know that from that family line, from her marriage, came King David. She was the great-great-grandmother of King David. And more wonderfully, from that family line came the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know these few things about her, but very interesting things. I think she's a really intriguing character in the Bible. Now every person in Hebrews 11 that we have been looking at teaches us something about faith. That's what the writer of this book was trying to teach. He was setting these people out as examples to his readers, to the Christians in that day. And they're examples to us and lessons about faith. So what can we learn from this lady, Rahab? And I think the first thing we can learn from her is this, that faith isn't the result of good works. Okay, so faith isn't the result of good works. So Rahab was a prostitute. That was her life, her activity, her profession in Jericho. It was very immoral, deeply sinful. Really the opposite of how God intended men and women to be faithful to each other in marriage. So she was in that sad situation. But somehow, I think it almost seems unfair that Rahab is remembered in this way. Rahab's mentioned in the Bible in 4 different books. So she's mentioned in Joshua, which we've already had read to us. She's mentioned in the book of Matthew, because she's in the line of Christ. She's mentioned in Hebrews, which we've read just now. And she's also mentioned in the book of James. And apart from in the book of Matthew, where it's just a list of names of the line of Christ, she's always referred to as Rahab the prostitute. And somehow this seems almost a bit hard on her, that she's lumbered with this title, Rahab the prostitute. Some of the other people on the list of these men and women of faith in Hebrews 11 were at least as bad as Rahab. The person just before her, Moses, for instance, when he was a younger man, he actually murdered someone, killed an Egyptian and hid their body in the sand, we're told. But back a few verses before Rahab, when it's describing Moses, it doesn't say, by faith, Moses the murderer. Okay, so he doesn't get lumbered with that title. And some of the others in the list were just as bad in different ways. So why is Rahab, this is puzzling me, why is Rahab always remembered as Rahab the prostitute? It just seems quite hard on her. But obviously, everything in the Bible is for a reason. And we know that Rahab has been remembered like this for a reason, to teach us something. And I guess there's a very simple lesson from it to start with, that faith doesn't spring, this great faith in Rahab, it doesn't spring from any good in her. Faith in us doesn't come from any good in us. The great faith that we see in Rahab didn't come because she was a particularly virtuous or moral person or upright, didn't develop because she was living a good life. Really, she was the opposite when she was in Jericho. She was kind of in the gutter morally. We know from the Bible that faith is a gift from God. In Ephesians 2, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, I can remember when I was a lot younger, young teenager, I didn't really understand this. I remember people saying to me, "You have to have faith to be a Christian." And I didn't really know what this meant. I remember thinking to myself, what is faith? How do you get it? Do you have to be good, or do you have to do something to get this faith? And it took me a while to realize that God saves sinners. He doesn't save good people, he saves sinners, and it's a gift. Salvation is a free gift from God. So I think that God very graciously to us, has ordered it that Rahab is remembered as Rahab the prostitute. It's kind of reminding us of this fact, that God saved even this lady, Rahab the prostitute. She didn't deserve it. Perhaps in a way her name is recorded like this because it's a trophy of grace, a trophy of God. And I think this is a great help to us. It doesn't matter how, especially if we're seeking the Lord, it doesn't matter how stained our lives are or whatever we've done in the past or whatever mess we've got ourselves into, has absolutely no bearing on whether God will save us or whether God will cause us to have this faith in him. God says to us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the requirement. It's not to have a holy life first. But I think we can take this lesson from her name a bit further. Why she's called Rahab the prostitute, why she's recorded like that. And there's a lesson in there, I think, about our own hearts. I think there's something quite shocking about the title prostitute. Okay? It has this stigma to it, doesn't it? Even throughout the ages. It's a lurid sexual sin. And I think often people react to that, word even. It's tainted and unfaithful and unclean. And we can see this, other examples of this in the Gospels. In Luke 7, Jesus had a meal with a Pharisee called Simon. And this woman comes in. And the implication from what's said about her is that she was a prostitute or involved in that kind of sin. And this woman wept at Jesus' feet. And she anointed his feet with ointment. And the Pharisee, in his heart, he was saying, doesn't Jesus know who this woman is, what sort of woman this is? But what did Jesus think of her? Well, he wasn't thinking like that at all. He didn't push her away. He accepted her and he commended her. This woman in Luke was showing tremendous faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in who he was. She was demonstrating that through her actions. And Jesus could see that. Really, it was the Pharisee that Jesus rebuked and was most disappointed with here because of his proud heart and his reaction to this woman. So perhaps we can ask ourselves, when we read about Rahab the prostitute, what's our reaction? Is it a shock to us that perhaps that she's on this list in Hebrews? I remember when I looked at it, I was thinking, it's almost strange that she's on this list. Perhaps that's just revealing what my heart's like, that we can be very slow to understand the grace of God. So I think Rahab, that the title Rahab the prostitute, teaches us not to be like this Pharisee here, not to be judgmental. That's almost the greater sin here. To remember that Jesus came to heal the sick and the needy, and also to remember that often the humble, the lowly in heart, the broken people, those who've been the most sinful, are those with the greatest faith, because they cast themselves on the Lord. Okay, so if Rahab's faith came as a gift from God, another question we can ask is, how did she get it? How did she receive this faith? She didn't wake up one morning and suddenly have faith in God. How did she come to believe in him? Well, and this is the next point, really. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. Rahab's faith came because she heard about God. And I'll just read to you, if you can look it up if you want, in Joshua 2, but I'll read it out to you. There's some really fascinating verses about what she says. She's talking to the spies and she says, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you." So the people of Jericho, they have heard about God, about how he dried up the Red Sea, how he gave his people these victories over the two Canaanite kings. And from this really limited information, Rahab comes to believe in God. And actually, she carries on in this conversation with the spies. She carries on with this quite amazing testimony. I'll just read a bit more. In verse 11 of chapter 2, she says, "For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." So this lady would have grown up being taught, probably worshipping false gods and idols. But now she hears about the true God, the God of heaven, and she believes in him. And she carries on in the next verse, talking to the spies. She says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord." And I think that's kind of a really telling thing, the way she talks about God there. She calls him the Lord. She doesn't say your Lord or your God. She says the Lord, as if he has become her Lord now. He is now the Lord of her heart. So this, I think, is an amazing thing. God has worked miraculously in Rahab's heart after she heard about him. And he's caused her to have this saving faith in him. So there's an important lesson here about faith. Faith comes from hearing. And this is reflected in lots of other places in the Bible. In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul says, "How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And he carries on. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we know that only God can change someone's heart. It's a gift from him. But also that people need to hear about it. That's the way that God has chosen to act and to work, by people hearing about him. So there's a real responsibility then on those of us who are Christians to tell people about God. Because if they don't hear, they can't be saved. To tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know, certainly from my experience, this is such a hard thing to do. I find it really difficult. But I think there's a couple of great encouragements here in the example of Rahab. First of all, Rahab had very, very little information about God. Probably only what we've read. And yet this was enough for her to believe in God and to be saved. So sometimes I think when we're thinking about witnessing to people, if we're Christians, we might think, oh, we need to tell them all about God and try and explain it really clearly and carefully and I know some people are very, very gifted at that, which is fantastic. But a lot of us find it very difficult. And I know it's very difficult sometimes. We can be quite clumsy or stuttering or afraid. But I think the wonderful encouragement here is that Rahab had such a little amount of information about God, and God was able to use that. That's a real encouragement, I think, if we're trying to witness to people, that we don't have to be polished and have all the answers. We just have to speak in faith and try and tell people about our Lord. But also, I think it's interesting that Rahab, most likely, before she met these two spies, would never have met an Israelite or a follower of the Lord before. So all the things that she heard about God really were secondhand, were almost hearsay. She'd have had accounts of God's people and of God probably from other Canaanites and other people in Jericho, accounts about the Red Sea and defeating these two kings. So all of it came to her secondhand. But this was a witness to her. This God used this in her life. So I think that tells us that our witness isn't just what we say to people. It's also what people say about us as Christians and as a church. And that's encouraging. Our behavior and our faithful lifestyle is in itself a witness. And also I think it's a motivation to us, isn't it, that we should be this bright witness as a church. And that when people speak about us, that in itself has a power. I think also Rahab teaches us the importance of listening. Because that's how God saves us. Okay, if you're not a Christian here and you're hearing this, how important it is, and each week as you come to church, how important it is to listen. To really listen and pay attention to what you're hearing. It's very, very easy to switch off, isn't it? I think that's one of my faults in life, is that I quite easily switch off to things. Are you like that in church, okay? Or other times when you're hearing about the Lord, is it easy to be distracted? Someone I know used to, when they were younger, just bring a book to church and read it instead of listening. How important it is actually to just listen and think about what you're hearing, because it's the words of eternal life. It's the most important things you'll ever hear. Rahab heard about the Lord, heard about God, and she must have considered it. And she believed it and was saved. So if you're not a Christian here, just really encourage you, really important each week as you come along to listen and to think about what you're hearing. Okay, what else can we learn from Rahab's faith? Well, I think another thing that's very powerful in this passage is that Rahab's faith leads to action. So her faith leads to action. Rahab heard about God and she believed, but now suddenly she's in this situation where she has to act. And I think this is a really dramatic example of faith having to be put into action. So we don't know how long before she met these spies, she believed in God. I think the impression from the passage is that it wasn't that long. Perhaps only just recently the Israelites had come and been near the city of Jericho and the people were talking about it. I think it's probably likely she'd maybe only just been saved. It could have only just been a few days, who knows? But suddenly, she believes in this God, and suddenly two of God's people are on her doorstep and they're in great danger. So what should she do? I think she's suddenly put in this situation where she has to make a decision and she has to act. It's an amazing example, I think, of faith being worked out. So I guess that's why she's in this list in Hebrews, because it's such a remarkable example. She's also used an example in the book of James about faith and action and works. In James chapter 2, he writes there, "Was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" When you read this, it sounds like James is saying almost that she was saved by her works and her actions. That isn't what he's saying. We've already seen that she'd already believed in God. But really, she was now having to show and to live out her faith. James carries on in that passage. Faith, apart from works, is dead. And I think you can really see this in the example of Rahab in this situation. If she believed in God, and then when these spies came to her door, if she hadn't helped them, and maybe she'd allowed them to be captured, and probably horrible things would have happened to them then, I'm sure, it would have seemed like her faith was dead. Okay? That she wasn't doing, she wasn't living out what she now believed. I think this was just a real crunch time for her and for her faith. She had to identify with God's people almost on the spot here. Very, very dramatic example. So I guess there's some powerful lessons for us here. If you become a Christian and you come to believe in God and put your trust in him, as Rahab did, sooner or later, your faith is going to be tested and you're going to have kind of crunch times like this, probably not as dramatic as Rahab's, I'm sure. Like Rahab, you'll have to identify with God's people. You'll have to witness to others that you are a Christian and you believe in this and you go to church and all these things. I think part of it is being baptized and having that public testimony that you're part of the church and one of the Lord's, joining a church. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ leads to action. I would just say as well that thinking about this, sometimes it happens by degrees, doesn't it? It doesn't always. I think Rahab is a very, very dramatic example of faith having to act. You can think of the example of Peter in the Bible. He believed in the Lord, but he didn't show such great faith early on, did he? He actually betrayed the Lord. But, of course, later he was given grace by the Lord. He was restored, and he did identify with the Lord's people. So I guess for a lot of us, become a Christian, it's not as dramatic as Rahab, and we identify with the Lord's people perhaps more slowly, but there is still this identifying with the people of the Lord and making this stand. So Rahab, she had this exceptional faith, and it's shown in what she did. And then I think throughout our Christian lives, Rahab shows us an example of that we have to live by faith. And this is what the writer, I think, in the Hebrews was saying to his readers. Keep on in the faith. Keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Rahab is a great example and help to us here. She had this amazing belief in God and confidence. When she's talking to the spies that Adam read to us in Joshua, it comes out that she was in absolutely no doubt that God was going to enable Israel to take Jericho. She was completely convinced about this because she knew that God was the God of the heavens and the earth. And she acted in the light of this great confidence and conviction in God. I think it's a wonderful example. Maybe think of another example in the Bible of the centurion who came to Jesus in the Gospels and asked him if Jesus would heal his servant. And this centurion was completely convinced that Jesus had the power to do this. And not only that he didn't even need to go anywhere near the centurion's house. And he said to Jesus, just give the word, I know he'll be healed. And Jesus marveled at the faith of this centurion. And I wonder whether the Lord marveled also at the faith of Rahab here, what the confidence she had in God. So this is the sort of faith we should kind of aspire to, isn't it, and have in our lives, where we're completely convinced about God and about his power and confident in him. How wonderful it is when we have times that we're like that and we have this deep conviction in our hearts about God and that sense of peace. And we need to live in the light of this, the light of who God is. He's the God of the heavens and the earth. And everything is in his hand. I think it should inspire us as well that the example of the centurion, Jesus was so impressed, wasn't he? Marveled at this centurion. That should inspire us to want to be like that in our lives, to have that sort of faith that pleases the Lord. Another thing about Rahab and her having to act is that her faith makes her very proactive in this situation. She trusted in the Lord, but she didn't sit back and assume that God would just somehow rescue her from Jericho. She makes these really big decisions. She hides the spies and redirects the king's men, and she makes a deal with them. She arranges all these details. So her faith doesn't sit back. It actually stirs her up to act and to be proactive. And we should be like that. If we believe that God can do anything, then we should be people who are active for God and are attempting great things for God. Okay, so another thing which comes out in this story of Rahab is that her faith really points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab's faith in God leads her to help the spies, and they make this deal with her. And she then ties this scarlet cord in the window of her house, which is what she was asked to do by the spies. So when the Israelites attacked, anyone who was in her house was spared. Now, I'll just read from a bit further on in Joshua chapter 6 what happened when the Israelites attacked. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers who Joshua sent to spy out to Jericho. So Rahab and all her relatives are saved because of her faith in God. And this scarlet cord, which she tied in the window, really was a sign of her faith. She's told to tie it in the window, and she did so in faith. She believed that the spies would honor it, but also really she's believing that God was going to save her and would deliver her. And I think wonderfully this scarlet cord points us to Jesus, and it's a very simple picture. Everyone inside Rahab's house, the house where the scarlet cord was tied, was safe when the destruction of the city came. And anyone in Christ, anyone trusting in him as their saviour, is safe from God's judgment. And I think the red of the cord, often in the Bible there are images like this of red. It speaks of blood and sacrifice in the Bible. And it points forward to the day when Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood for our sins. And speaks of his sacrifice that saves us. So I think in a way that the best thing about Rahab, the best lesson that she gives us and about her faith, is that she points us to the object of her faith, the ultimate object of her faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the final thing I want to say about Rahab's faith then is that her faith brings great blessing into her life. Can almost make a list of the blessings that she had. She had trials as well. The testing at the beginning must have been a great trial when she was hiding the spies and then waiting for the attack of the city. But think of the amazing blessings that she had because of her faith. First of all, she was saved from destruction, her and her family as well. She joined God's people. She had this new people in her life, the people of the Lord. She then went on to marry one of them. What a blessing that was. What a turning around of her life and where she was before as a prostitute in Jericho. But there are more amazing blessings, I think. She was in the line of David. Think of the kind of honor that has now. More remarkably, she's in the line, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thinking earlier about how hard it is that harsh it seems that she's called Rahab the prostitute in most of the references to her. But actually, think of the honour that she has in that from her family came the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess it almost seems like a compensation. Perhaps best of all, she knew God, she knew the Lord, and she had this relationship with him. She had eternal life because of this faith which she had. And so too for us, if we have this faith in God, it also brings great blessings into our lives. It might be trials and difficulties. We have to identify with the Lord's people, and sometimes that can be bring perhaps trials or troubles, persecution. But think of the blessings that come from faith, our salvation. When we become a Christian and we put our trust in the Lord, we have a new spiritual family. Just as she entered this new family of God's people, we have a spiritual family, the church. Often our lives are greatly changed when we have faith in the Lord, and our past sins are turned around and we have different lives. Rahab ended up being greatly honoured, and in a way, she was in the line of Christ. In a way, we have a great honour too. We're brothers. Jesus is our brother, isn't he? We have that great honour. God is our Heavenly Father. A bit like Rahab, best of all, we know the Lord, don't we? Faith leads us to have this relationship with God, and we have eternal life. And maybe just to finish, the last thing which I think is really encouraging is that faith pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that should be the most inspiring thing of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ he marveled at the centurion. And living a life of faith, carrying on in faith, is something that pleases our Saviour. So I hope that is an encouraging thing just to finish on.